Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
Hi, I'm George Luna.
And I am Brittany Pacheco, and we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. We are here today to discuss Season 3, Episode 6 of The Boys, Herogasm. That's the title of the episode. This is the one of the most anticipated episodes of The Boys. People who read the comics were saying, like, when are they going to do Herogasm? And they did it. So what did y'all think about it? George, what are your thoughts on Herogasm?
I didn't know what to expect, and even what I was expecting, I was I think it was crazy. It was, I don't have words to explain what I saw in this show. Like, this episode, like, it was, some things were very disturbing. I just can't. We'll talk about the things that happened, but goddamn, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But overall, what'd you think about the episode?
Overall, it was a solid episode. Apart from like all the sex scenes and all the crazy shit, like the fight at the end was the best thing about this show. That's it.
I agree. Brittany, what about you? What's your overall thoughts on the episode?
Okay, I've said it, I think, three times already on this show that every episode that we're reviewing is my favorite. This one, hands down. My absolute favorite show. It did not disappoint. It literally had everything and then some in it, obviously. But like George said, disturbing moments. But damn, the fight scene lived up to the hype of what I was seeing on Twitter and things of that nature. And I literally was not disappointed at all by this episode. It has to go down in history as being one of the greatest episodes of like any TV show. To me, it just has to be, but we'll see if that does. What were your thoughts, Justin?
Yeah, no, I agree. I, after it was over, I went to Twitter and I was like, this is the best 60 minutes of superhero content I've ever seen. Like, it's so well done. And George, you're right. That fight with Butcher and with Homelander and with Huey, Soldier Boy taking on Homelander, like, that was such an incredible battle. It was like, you know, it kind of was shades of like Bucky and Cap fighting Iron Man. It was like, I mean, but then also you have the whole thing of, you have Homelander, who's Superman, fighting Soldier Boy, who's Captain America, and you see how that would go down. Like, obviously Superman's a little bit more powered than, you know, the Captain America, but to see all that and in this world they've created, which is just, I mean, it's just such an amazing show. And like you said, Brittany, like every episode, somehow they top themselves. And it's like, how do you do that? Because the last episode was amazing. And before that was amazing. They just keep doing it. And we still have two more episodes in this season. Like, this felt like a finale kind of episode. You would, like, for any other show, this would be a finale. But for The Boys, it's just, you know, one of eight. And it's like, we still have two more. So, yeah, I was blown away. I've actually rewatched it. I watched it three times overall, which I usually only watch the episodes twice. Not to say they're not worthy of watching multiple times, because this show is so fantastic. But in the short frame of time period we have between when the show actually airs and when we do this show, I've already watched it three times, and like, it kept my attention, and the fight was epic each time. So I think that's probably as good a place anywhere to start as the fight scene. What did y'all, I'll start with George. George, how did you, like, were you expecting to see Homelander and Soldier Boy square off in this episode?
I told y'all last episode. Yeah. In the last episode of this podcast, I told y'all that it was going to happen. And it did. And honestly, I thought Soldier Boy was, like, going to, like, have it easy. And, like, it was, like, he was going to put up more of a fight. But, dude, he was about to die.
Yeah.
Like, he almost died if Butcher did not save him. And just all three of them combined shows you how powerful Homelander really is. And they're going to need all the help they can get, because he will not fall for that again. And it's going to be super interesting how they're going to have to think about how to take him down now in the future, and who's going to have to help him achieve this, because they're not going to be able to do it just them three again.
And the fact that Homelander now knows that Soldier Boy has some kind of power, like they know that, he knows that Butcher and Soldier Boy have teamed up.
Yeah.
yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that happens. And I mean, you got to think that they're going to face off again in the finale, the season finale.
Yeah. But now he knows that Butch and Huey have powers.
Powers also, right.
Yeah. Even though they're taking a toll on them because Huey was bleeding from his ear like right. earlier in the episode. Like, so there's definitely side effects. It might be killing them. They don't even know.
Yeah, definitely. So Brittany, what'd you think about the fight?
I was not expecting that fight to take place in this episode. I'm really glad it did, because now you're going to build on that, obviously, the tension between all these men, especially with Homelander. And I know we'll talk a little bit more in depth about Homelander and the fact that he just thinks he's the greatest. He said it to himself, to Soldier Boy, mm-hmm. you know, you're almost as strong as me. And I liked how Soldier Boy just said to him, really, you think you're strong? You're wearing a cape. Like, come on. Like, who wears a cape? I love the taunting in this episode yeah. as well, especially between Soldier Boy and Homelander. But Homelander just basically saying, you know, I'm the upgrade.
Right.
And I think that did ring true in this episode. George just said it. It looked like Soldier Boy was about to be defeated had Butcher not stepped in. And then even Butcher was subject to being annihilated had Huey not stepped in. So then you see like the importance of having a team up and someone like Huey, for example, to play whatever little part he played in, because he was able to escape Homelander and his laser vision and what have you. I was really curious as to why it seemed that Soldier Boy was having, it was taking longer for him to, I guess, build up his momentum to mm-hmm. to take out Homelander. But then just seeing that rage coming out of Homelander too, which was actually quite frightening in a way. I think I've said it before, Anthony Starr is kind of like on that level of Robert Downey Jr. RDJ can only be Iron Man. Anthony Starr can only be Homelander. And I think he does a hell of a good job with it. But that whole fight scene was incredible.
Yeah. And one of my favorite parts is when, you know, George mentioned before, and you've mentioned how, you know, we see Soldier Boy. It looks like he's about to be defeated by or killed by Homelander. When Butcher, you know, after, you know, when they initially started fighting, Homelander took out, he thought he took out Butcher with laser eyes, but then Butcher recovers and then he uses laser eyes on Homelander. And one of my favorite parts of this fight was Homelander and Butcher are trading blows. And you see like the blood on Butcher's face and he has like that smile. He has like a smile like with his bloody mouth. And to me, this shows that like Butcher obviously doesn't have the same power level or the same power set as Homelander. Cause if he had Homelander's powers, I believe that Butcher, because of his will and his pure hatred of Homelander, I think he would overpower Homelander and kill him. If he had the same, if they were on a exactly level playing field, I think that Butcher, because of who he is and his hatred for Homelander, I think he would take Homelander down. But I don't think he has the same level of power. And that part, that's another great part of that fight, is they're fighting and it looks like Butcher is going to get taken out. And like I said, Huey comes in, tries to save the day, and still they're having trouble. And then Soldier Boy recovers. He grabs Homelander by his Star Spangled Banner cape and rips him down. And that's when they're three on top of him. And I mean, just like, you know, they're just waiting for Soldier Boy to build up this power in his chest. And Homelander, just like he does, like that crazy, like that, those evil eyes. He does like a push up, knocks them off of him and just flies into the sky. It was such an incredible moment. Like every time I've watched it, I'm just like, I feel like hype moment, you know, like
that scene reminded me of like in an Infinity War where they're trying to stop Thanos and they're all ganging up on him to try yeah. and like get the glove from him. It felt like it gave me that energy. Like everyone was just trying and it was just them three. So here's my question. Why wasn't Starlight there to help them? Because Huey took her away because he didn't want her to get hurt, but they needed help.
Right.
Like, that didn't make sense to me. Like, Homelander wasn't even there. He was scared. He took her away because of Soldier Boy, because just in case he killed someone on accident or something.
Right.
He did kill a whole bunch of people.
But Huey wants to save Annie. You know, he said that time and time again. He wants to save her. He didn't want to be the weak one anymore. And although she doesn't need saving, you know, she can hold her own. I think that's still his whole thing. But she got pissed about it, obviously, because she used her powers on Huey and knocked him on his ass.
Yeah.
And so, I to answer your question, I think that's probably just the main reason he wanted to save her. But
that's pretty stupid from Huey. They need
exactly.
And he's gonna he's gonna need her help these next episodes. And be like, so what? He's gonna walk back like, oh yeah, I need your help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a clear divide amongst the boys and Starlight and MM. Obviously, MM and Starlight have teamed up. Although everyone was, with the exception of Kimiko and Frenchie, everyone was at the same place, same time. They all kind of had different missions, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And that division, I think, is just going to grow even more. Whereas, like you said, they all need to team up and take down Homelander at once. But because of personal vendettas and things like that, it's probably not going to happen. I highly doubt in this next episode. If it happens in the finale, cool, but like, it's not going to happen in this next episode. One thing I wanted to touch on real fast, Justin, because you were talking about Butcher's powers and abilities. If he was at full capacity with to be on par with Homelander, could he take him on? And I want to say that even though they're taking temporary V, I mean, they take it in small doses, obviously, because you see the vials in the background and it's just like, you know, partially gone or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like they have to obviously be mindful of how much they use and how often, because their source, Maeve, is not there to swipe it for them anymore, right? So I pondered the same thing about if Butcher just took all the V all at once, you know, what would that do? Like, would that really enhance his abilities, or would that just kill him, you know, super fast, right? Yeah. So, you know, we haven't seen him fly yet. Maybe he needs to take all that shit so he can fly and really take on Homelander. I don't know, but
That's a good point. I think that could be it. That I didn't even think about that. In fact, how that Maeve is. She's out of action, and they've only got a limited supply of this stuff. And you're right. Maybe if you take a super dose of it, you would be more power. Of course, but then again, it might kill you. That's probably the trade-off. You know, it's kind of like in Captain America. Go ahead, George.
Here's a hypothetical for y'all. Yep. Do you think now that they have taken this temp V and these powers, if they were able to get their hands on normal compound V, would they do it?
Yes, I think so.
I think so too.
Yes, I agree. I do.
I think Butcher,
it's a means to an end. Mm-hmm. And for Huey, he just doesn't want to be the weak one anymore. So, yes.
Do you guys see that happening? Because, because of Victoria Newman was able to get her hands on some, the recipe for it, she injected her daughter. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a possibility?
You know,
I suppose
it's a good question, because you know, Newman tried to establish like a bond or a team up with Starlight. Maybe now she goes to Huey because Starlight turned her down. Maybe she goes to Huey now and says, "Look, you know, yeah, it's like you know who I am, and I know that you have." I don't know if she knows that he has temp V though, right? Maybe she doesn't know that.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but she knows he's not, you know, at home.
Right.
Like he said he was. So
she may not know, but she could find out in the next episode.
That's a good way in, actually. That'd be a good way in to figure that out. Yeah, I could see that happening now that you mentioned that.
And they team up because they were pretty close before he found out she was the popping head.
Yeah.
Loop. So,
yeah.
Which I'm curious as to how Newman knew that Starlight and Huey knew, probably because of Homelander. I guess with whatever, sort of deal they had, like, because Homelander literally just knows everything, right? Yes. At this point,
he didn't know about Butcher and Huey.
No. What I'm saying is the fact that if Homelander knows that Victoria Newman is a soup,
right?
Then she's somehow connected to Huey, therefore Starlight. You know, like that. They're all just gonna like find out and that kind of thing. So it's just kind of like, well, I wonder how she found out.
Yeah, that's weird, because now that you explained that, we're like, I don't know how she knew that.
I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is in the previous episode, and this is like, this is not enough to go on, but remember whenever it was right after Soldier Boy did that thing in Midtown where he blew up that building and Huey showed up on the scene with Butcher
and there was, saw
there was that woman there from his old office or whatever, or from where he works. And she was like, "Oh, I thought you broke your arm." He's like, "Yeah, actually it's just a bad sprain or whatever." Yeah. So maybe
that's a solid argument.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what got, you know, she found that out and thought, well, you know, maybe we'll
we'll take it. I'm sure they'll explain it.
Yeah, I mean, this show doesn't leave open too many things, or there's not too many plot holes that you can think about.
I mean, yeah, they can have like one or two every now and then, but that was just one of the things. I was like, wait a minute, how did she find out? Anyway, we're getting hung up on stuff like that. But Victoria, like, trying to exercise her power and her weight of the matter and try to get Annie to do her bidding, you know, let me utilize your social media platform. You have 193 million followers. Like, let me push my agenda and this and that, and you'll be the actual captain and this, you know, promising all these great things as politicians do, obviously. And Annie just standing up for herself and saying, I'm tired of listening to everyone telling me that basically I need to play dirty in order to stay ahead. And she's basically saying, fuck everyone, fuck Vought, fuck Homelander, fuck you. And I thought this was actually kind of cool. I respect Victoria Newman for it because she's still trying to show the upper hand by saying like, hey, just keep this between us. You know, I really hate to, you know, pop America's sweetheart's head, but it's not impossible. And then she walks away and Annie has like a little bit of blood coming out of her nose, which is like the tell that Victoria's powers are working. And it's just, oh shit, these women are going to get into it too.
Yeah. It shows that obviously Annie has superpowers, because otherwise she could have popped her head if she's a normal person. So that was pretty interesting. And let's just to continue with Annie's storyline. So throughout this episode, as you mentioned, Brittany, she's teaming up with MM, and they're kind of an interesting pairing because they've done this before in previous, was it last season? They kind of teamed up. Of course, Huey was with them.
I think she started understanding him a little bit more, taking that time to kind of understand how he works and sympathizing in a way.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a unique pairing, but I think it's a pairing that works because these are people of conviction.
Right. And, you know, MM figures out that, hey, like, Soldier Boy's looking to take out his old team members, and he knows where the TNT twins are, and that's going to be next on the list. So that's why they head to Vermont to stop, you know, Soldier Boy from killing these washed up soups from Payback. But along the way, we find out the origin of MM's OCD and the fact that it's tied to Soldier Boy killing his grandfather, which we never had that explained to us. And I wonder, you know, he says that, like, you know, his, you know, Soldier Boy was outside their house and someone was trying to steal a car, and he took the car and like just hurled the car into the house. And his grandfather was there at the window watching Soldier Boy because MM woke him up. And then the grandfather was dead. I wonder if anyone else from his family died also. You'd think someone.
I'm pretty sure. Cause I think in the newspaper clipping, it did say something like family, like part of his family died. I don't know who else was it, but there was like a little newspaper story.
Not just that, but when MM did come face to face with Soldier Boy at the mansion where Herogasm was taking place, he said to Soldier Boy, "You killed my family." And Soldier Boy, "Which one?" So it's Soldier Boy did bad things, obviously.
Yeah.
And I want to say, with the exception of MM's father, because his father died later on under different circumstances, I think he virtually killed a lot of his family. Because he said in the house it was, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins,
right?
You know,
right.
Just a whole lot of people. So it's probably those family members that were killed.
Okay, because when Soldier Boy said which one, I was like, does he not know who MM is, or is he saying like?
No, I highly doubt it, because I don't know if we have a time frame as to when that murder happened,
right,
how soon it was before Nicaragua. I mean, and if MM was a little boy, there's no way that Soldier Boy would have known who MM was as an adult, no, because exactly. He's been in Russia. So yeah, that to ask the question of, well, you know, which family, that just goes to show that Soldier Boy did some shady shit.
Yeah, you're meaning he killed other people.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's other what I'm families. Saying. Yeah. Of course. Okay. Yeah, because I'm like, you know, okay, so he killed MM's family, but when he asks the question which one, it's like, well, you only have one family, you know, like, I don't know. To me, that was kind of strangely worded, you know, because I mean,
not my opinion. I mean, I understood obviously the way that I just explained it, but
yeah, teach their own. But that's but what he was implying, like you said, is he's killed a lot of people, like whether he was trying to all the time or just, I mean, obviously pretty carelessly throwing cars into homes, you got to expect you're going to kill somebody, you know.
Listen, if he was linked up with Liberty, you know, because right. We learned that Herogasm was co-founded by Soldier Boy and Liberty right. Who we know as Stormfront, and she did some really fucked up shit towards Black families. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all that Soldier Boy would do the same shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's part of what I was thinking, because whenever we first see MM in this episode, he's inside his home, or he's in, I guess it's his home, and there's like Black Panther flag kind of stuff on the wall. You know what I mean? So like, or, you know, there's like a sign or something that's kind of a Black Panther party thing. So I wonder if maybe Soldier Boy, like Stormfront or Liberty, was obviously a racially motivated, you know, killer or something. He doesn't seem that way, but you know, the character's kind of ambiguous. Like even when he says, I didn't mean to hurt people, you don't totally believe him, you know?
Right. So what you're talking about now, and George, I wanted to get your take on this too, about Soldier Boy, when he's asked by Huey about what happened in Midtown when the 19 people were killed and injured, and Soldier Boy says he blacked out for 10 minutes. He has no idea what happened. But he says he's not a bad guy. Now, what is your interpretation about actions and then his words?
You mean like when he blacked out and he's doing these things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we saw in, I think it was earlier, I don't know if it's this episode or last one, where Huey's talking to him in the hotel room. Was that this episode?
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm referring to, that conversation. Yeah.
So you can see like when he gets worked up and he starts like getting like angry or like upset about things, the radiation starts going higher and higher and higher and higher. So the more this guy gets upset, the clearer, like when he unleashes everything, he blacks out. So he reaches like some type of breaking point, and that's why he can't remember what happens. And he thinks like, he's still a good guy, which I don't know. So far, this guy is fucking crazy, and I don't think he's a great guy.
But consider the fact that, of course, this is a man out of time. He still says that Bill Cosby is America's dad.
Oh my God, yeah.
And he talks about
strong drinks.
Yeah.
Strong drinks and something dealing with Afghanistan, of course, obviously. Once again, he's a man out of time. He says, there are friends, you know, there are brothers in arms or whatever. And things have changed since then, obviously. So considering, I wonder, and Justin, weigh in, is it all based on interpretation? That Soldier Boy just does the things that he thinks is right, and therefore it doesn't make him a bad guy.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. But as far as the blacking out, I do think there is a part of him whenever he reaches that boiling point or breaking point with that power, I don't think he has any control over it. So yeah. I do think when he says he blacked out, I do think that's believable.
Sure.
But yeah, I think he knows, you know, like you said, in his era, he was the most powerful soup. Now he's not. He hasn't. I mean, later on in the episode, I think he learns that, you know, Homelander obviously is the next level, but, you know, sure. Yeah. He definitely uses his power how he sees fit.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so, very much so. And obviously the blacking out is, you can equate that to Bucky as a Winter Soldier when when the words are spoken, he kind of, you know, flips a switch and becomes a completely different person. You know, so I think it's that same kind of thing where when Soulja Boy hears that Russian song playing wherever, you know, that's the trigger, obviously, and he blows everyone up without any recollection whatsoever. Because even when that happened in the mansion and he's walking through the rubble, he kind of looks at Butcher like, what the hell happened? And Butcher's kind of like, what do you mean what the hell happened kind of thing? So it's just an interesting concept in general.
Yeah. And you know, let's talk about what happens at that mansion, because that's what this episode is entitled, you know, Herogasm.
Jesus.
Basically all of our characters find their way to this mansion in Vermont. The first one to get there is the Deep, who the Deep is, I mean, the Deep tip, like, he's just like the comic relief. You know, the episode opens with, he's doing this like Imagine video, the John Lennon song, with all these celebrities, Patton Oswalt and Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis. It includes A-Train and Black Noir, and it's kind of a parody. It's totally a parody of
Gal Gadot
and several other celebrities that did at the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, we see that the Deep is like working on like the footage where he discovers that, that Soulja Boy's back or whatever. And, you know, in that part, you know, we see Homelander, he's telling Deep, go find Soulja Boy. And, you know, Black Noir, who is also a member of Payback, which was, Soulja Boy's team, you know, Homelander's talking to him. Of course, Black Noir doesn't talk back. Of course, he doesn't say anything. And that scene at the beginning when he gets in the elevator and cuts out the tracking thing, like, originally I had no idea what the hell he was doing. But then we find out very quickly that Black Noir is afraid of Soulja Boy. You know, he knows he'll be on the list. So he cuts that tracking device out of his arm in the elevator. It's a gruesome scene. Then the Deep lets Homelander know, hey, like, Black Noir, he took out his tracking device. So like, we're on our own now. And so Homelander's like devastated. And so, you know, because Black Noir is like his guy, even though they don't talk at all. And he sends the Deep to find the twins in Vermont. And that's when, you know, the Deep shows up just in time for this party. It's the 70th anniversary of Herogasm. And he's invited into the party. And here we go, you know. So I thought the Deep was like the perfect character to lead us into Herogasm.
Definitely.
Take it away, George.
No, he was the perfect one, just because of what they open with, like what happened with Starlight, the one of the TNT twins. He's like, yeah, man. I forgot what he said. He's like, we're still on your side or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, of course they would be. And then he walks in, and we see all the debauchery and crazy shit that's happening, and God,
it's a little bit sensory overload.
It was just a lot. Dildos.
I mean, some dude was walking around with his
on fire.
His dick was on fire, yes. And termite was also there. We saw him in the very beginning of the season.
When he touches his jacket.
Yes. So there's a lot of some semi-familiar faces, some faces we haven't seen, a lot of things we don't need to see ever again. We also are welcoming back Love Sausage from season two,
right,
who was at the facility that Stormfront was leading up with Lamplighter. They're doing experiments. Love Sausage. I'm not going to have to elaborate on that much. Dude can control his thingy and extend it, and that's how he welcomes in MM and Starlight. And as we all know, MM is OCD. He's also a germaphobe. Yep. He doesn't like things, you know, touching him, and rightfully so. But yes, George, when Termite came back to full size and he bumps into
that was
MM,
the worst part. MM walks to that door and opens those doors. And oh my god,
he gets
that was gross.
Full body blasted.
That was disgusting. I made a face. I was like, ugh.
And then, you know, it was actually the voice of the showrunner, Eric Kripke. He's the one who says, "You lick it up, you yummy brown bear." So
that was Kripke. That's great.
Yeah, he did that. And
oh, gross.
You know, something else I want to point out real quick is when he first walks into HeroGasm, he makes a comment. He's like, you know, he's like Frenchie. He's like, he always wanted to see this. He's going to be heartbroken.
Everyone said that.
Yeah, and then later on, Butcher says the same thing. He's telling a Soldier Boy and Huey the same thing. It's such a funny, little thing.
I like how they still think about Frenchie, even though he's, you know, not there to partake. And yes, Frenchie for sure would absolutely love taking part in HeroGasm, if just for observational purposes. But the whole idea that this, again, was started by Soldier Boy and Liberty back in the 50s, it's alive and well. It's in its 70th year. And
who knows about next year?
That's fair. And the Deep also partakes.
That was disgusting.
That was disgusting. So, you know, you think with Timothy, who is the little octopus that he had to consume in the earlier episodes. And, you know, I'm not entirely surprised that Deep would want to get it on with a sea creature. But the fact that you see a tank in the middle of the room, and you just see his butt cheeks pressed against it, and you're hearing his kind of commentary of just the whole bit, and Starlight, poetic justice in this role of Deep getting head from an octopus, and Starlight's the one to take a picture of it and is threatening to send it to Homelander, which unfortunately backfires, because we know that Deep was sent to HeroGasm, well, not directly to HeroGasm, but sent on Homelander's behalf.
She should have just posted it online.
You know, she should have. Yeah. She really should
have. And she should.
Yes. Now, yes. Yes.
She already posted about the dead bodies and stuff. Like, she can
100% post sure. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, another character from the Seven that was also present at HeroGasm was A-Train, which prior to he gets into a huge argument with Ashley about Blue Hawk and how his brother's paralyzed. He wants justice. And then Ashley like got ballsy with him and basically said, "I've done a lot of covering up for you and your murders," and starts like naming them off one by one, including Popclaw. And she's like, "So you want justice?" Like, yeah, like that's not fucking happening. And I was like, wow, like she grew a pair and just laid it out. But when we see A-Train, and the reason we see A-Train is because he's looking for Blue Hawk, obviously. He's going to take matters into his own hands. Blue Hawk is there. Were y'all surprised to see his encounter with Huey?
Yes.
Yeah,
very definitely. Surprised. Definitely. I did not expect that.
Yep.
So break it down for us, George.
Such a wholesome moment. Like Huey now. That
in the oddest environment.
Yeah. But Huey was like in some type of way, because like he felt like good about himself. He felt strong or whatever. So he finally had that courage to go up to him and like, "Hey, apologize for what you did to me and what you did to Robin and everything you did to my life." And you can see that A-Train actually has feelings this time. He's like, "I'm fucking sorry." Like he actually felt bad for the shit that he's going through right now, and his brother and Popclaw, and that encounter they had with Ashley definitely made him feel like shit, that they don't give a fuck about him anymore, and he's taking things into his own hands, like you said. And we see that, and what he does to Blue Hawk was fucking awesome, and I think he's gonna be fine. I don't think A-Train's gonna die this episode, but he probably will sacrifice himself for the greater like good of like everybody. Just he's gonna do something to sacrifice himself and help. That is my prediction.
So Justin, we've talked about this in earlier pod reviews about A-Train changing face or face turn. What's the expression?
Well, I mean, he's a heel. He's a bad guy. So turning face would be becoming a good guy.
Okay. So that, do we see the beginnings of it? Well, first and foremost, let's backtrack a little bit. George touched on this. The then encounter between A-Train and Blue Hawk. What did you make of that? Walk us through it.
Well, I love the timing of it because it's right after Soldier Boy, like, just destroys the mansion, and we're just left in these like ruins, and there's people that are bloody and naked, and most of them are charred or dead. And A-Train sees Blue Hawk and he confronts him. A-Train or Blue Hawk's like, right now, you want to do this right now? And then A-Train just throws him to the ground. Of course, you know, speed drags him all over the area and kills him. I was kind of surprised that we saw Blue Hawk in that way, but I mean, it's the way he should. It was the perfect ending for that character. As far as A-Train, you know, we're kind of, you know, because as after he does that, after he drags Blue Hawk to death, you know, we're kind of made to think, as because you can hear his heart pumping fast and slower and then slower, and then it stops. We're made to think that he dies, and I don't think he's dead because he's a big character. But maybe his powers are gone and he's just like in a hospital when we see him next. I don't see, like, honestly, I don't see how he would survive, but I think that he somehow will. It's a tough call. I just don't think that's not the end of A-Train is what I'm trying to say.
I agree that I think A-Train will survive. I think he's just going to be extremely limited as to what he can do physically.
Yeah.
If, let's say, he is wheelchair bound, much like his brother who's paralyzed, right? And having to navigate, let's say, that new way of life together with his brother, will A-Train continue being in the Seven? You know, because he got into it with Ashley. Ashley is CEO now, and she's had to cover for him for all the crap that he's done. And knowing that he's committed another murder of a fellow Soup, and are they going to protect him is probably the million-dollar question. But, you know, to look at it from a social injustice in a way, it's a little poetic that, well, maybe not poetic's not the right word, but considering lynching that has been used, been done throughout many years, and then you kind of see it flipped, was, I think, a really interesting take.
Yeah.
Not that it makes it right, of course, or anything like that. It's just, it was interesting to see it flipped around a little bit. But anyway.
I think with A-Train, what'll probably happen is he does survive this. And I think it's the case of, like, he has like one more run left in his body. Like, his heart can only take it one more time. And I do think that he will use that to try to either stop Homelander or do something in the finale. I don't think we're going to see him in season 4 unless he's just a depowered person who's kind of sidelined. But I don't know. Well, because the boys, like, the boys doesn't do that kind of stuff. They'll just kill somebody, you know, like, they have no problem just saying, hey, thanks for your contributions and your time is done here. So, but I do think that we're going to see him in the finale making some kind of attempt to take down Homelander.
For sure. I can get on board with that. We mentioned about Frenchie. That whole scenario, guys.
Oh yeah.
I am not going to lie. I had the pillow over my face the entire time because that's how frightened I was of Frenchie and Kimiko's future, if you will. The fact that Nina, she already had Frenchie, and her henchmen came in for Kimiko at the hospital, and Kimiko is tied up next to Cherie. You know, where the hell they got Cherie from, I don't know, because we thought that maybe she was going to flee the country, right? And they're bringing in Frenchie. He's naked. He's beaten. Nina's talking about all his different scars, how he got them, and how he likes being told what to do. Like, what was y'all's take on this scene? Because, like I said, for me, I was frightened the entire time. Did you think anyone was going to make it at all? George? We'll go to Justin first.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm right there with you, Brittany. It felt like Game of Thrones level dread for the characters. You're right. Little Nina, you know, he's Frenchie is like collared to this like metal structure where, you know, his neck is tied. He can't move.
You know what that looked like to me, Justin? Because we talked about this off screen. Sorry. It looked like one of those bicycle locks
that
you would put around your tire.
Yeah, or like a giant safety pin that could go around somebody's neck. It's sort of like kind of a combination of those two things. Yeah, that's a good point. And so he, you know, he's incapacitated basically, and then he's told to choose between Sheree and Kimiko. And like, I thought that we were going to see Sheree die because, I mean, she's a lesser character. We don't see her very often. I did not think Kimiko was going to die. But once Kimiko breaks free and then she's, you know, she basically kills the two, you know, Russian thugs. I have to ask y'all, is she getting her powers back? Because it seems like.
I had this conversation with Frank that day. And he was asking, he's like, did she get her powers back? He's like, George, how did she survive? I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, Frank, she is like a trained assassin, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, and the stuff that she went through, she hid the body, like the other body on top of her when she was getting shot.
But those bullets would go through.
That was Frank's argument. I was like, yeah, maybe. I was like, that was a big guy, but yeah. And then Frank the only reason I don't think that maybe is like there's a scene that you see her getting punched and she just starts like bleeding more and more and more.
Right.
So like that's the only reason I'm like, well, maybe she's like half and half, but she's still like reacting like if she was injured and like she can't regenerate.
So I have it's a little bit of a theory. It's not a well thought out one, but it's based on the conversation that she has later with Frenchie after they escape their horrible situation. Cause I seriously thought that Frenchie was actually going to die during the scene because Nina's telling him you need to choose between one of these two women. And then it almost seemed like maybe someone was going to come from left field and like shoot him or something like that. Cause he was locked up. Right. But the conversation between Kimiko and Frenchie thereafter, Kimiko is basically saying, you know, it wasn't the V that made me do or be this way. It all comes from me, which kind of echoes what Butcher says about how Compound V just basically enhances who you already are. So if Kimiko, like George, you said she's a trained assassin, she has the skill. She just doesn't have the strength that she once did. She doesn't have those abilities that she once did, but she still has those skills and she can survive because there is that will, there is that drive. And so I kind of would agree that maybe she doesn't have those abilities anymore, but she still knows what to do in order to, like I said, survive.
I agree.
Yeah. I think that's correct. But I do feel like it wouldn't shock me if her powers are like slowly coming back.
Yeah.
Because like she breaks that guy's wrist like the way she grabs his hand and breaks. I mean, like that's, yeah, I'm, you know, she's a trained assassin. Okay. And then the bullets, to me, the gunshots is probably the worst part because that guy close range, he's just pumping that guy full of bullets.
Yeah.
He's right on top of her. You can't tell me that, like, you know, five or six of those shots don't go through him and go into her. So that's the toughest part to believe. Well,
and then I wonder too, when the boys encounter Soldier Boy in Russia and he's released and he, you know, and power extends from him and Kimiko gets the blast. I mean, how much of that was completely going to eliminate her? You see what I'm saying? Because when we see him use his power, Soldier Boy's power at full blast, I mean, he kills people, right?
Right.
We assume that it didn't kill her because she has the self-healing abilities and things like that. But is that the only reason? Or he just wasn't maxed out to really eliminate her powers? You see what I'm saying? So if let's say her powers slowly start coming back, you kind of have to ask yourself, is Soldier Boy the ultimate weapon that could defeat Homelander?
Yeah. I mean, it's either he can depower someone to where they can be killed like a human, or he can just flat out kill them, you know, like just obliterate, like he obliterates those twins, right? And they are former supes. I mean, they have powers. Their powers aren't working apparently. Well, they haven't used their powers in a long time, but they do their, they hold hands and do their TNT detonate, and then does it work? Yeah, I think that, I just can't believe that she doesn't have some kind of power. To me, that's just a
kind of, a I think it might, come back, like, because now that Brittany says that, there, that's a good point, is that everyone else that's received those blasts has been fucking obliterated.
Right.
And she hasn't. And maybe that's partly because she could regenerate, she couldn't die, and she could take that blast like no one else could.
Right.
You know? And that's she's true. Able to regenerate, but now that she went through that, everyone else died, and she can only do it like slowly, and eventually the radiation wears off. Eventually, like, it's just going to take longer because look how powerful that blast was. It's like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah,
100%. I think you're on to something with that. I think if anything, Soldier Boy's powers just weaken other Soup's powers. It doesn't completely eliminate them unless he actually like fucking kills them.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it's written into the story of she's just slowly regaining her powers. Because, listen, the boys need Kimiko.
Yeah.
She is essential to their whole operation, of course. And I want my girl to have her powers back, okay?
Yeah.
But I do too, but I also want her to have her, like, happy ending and kind of, like, if she wants to, like, live her normal life and die and be a human, I support that too.
You know, yeah, I for sure. I want her to have a happy life with Frenchie and Marseille and that kind of thing. I mean, if that means that she still gets to keep her powers, she just never has to use them, mm-hmm. so be it. But I don't think this story is ever going to have a happy ending for like anyone, like truth be told, for sure.
Unfortunately not.
So that was an interesting conversation in general, just about Kimiko and her well-being and what that could mean to utilize Soldier Boy to eliminate Homelander. Like I said, because that's what Butcher wants Soldier Boy to do. I need you to add one more person to your list aside from your payback people.
Right.
Which, on that topic real fast, the conversation of TNT with Soldier Boy before he eliminates them was, you know, you guys betrayed me, whatever, who, you know, who did it? And TNT says it was Black Noir.
Right.
To which Soldier Boy says, well, Black Noir wouldn't like make a move without Vought.
Right.
So do you guys think that Vought is ultimately behind Soldier Boy's disappearance to Russia?
Definitely, for sure. Like, and we know it was Black Noir, like, because he removed the chip like from himself as soon as right. Homelander said he cut that out and dipped, because what's her name, the other, his girlfriend that he found or whatever,
Crimson Countess,
yes, he found her, so he knew it was a matter of time before like Soldier Boy was able to find him.
Yeah.
And the reason I think also, this is just theory or whatever, but the reason I think that Black Noir turned him in was, you remember that flashback that they go back and he wants to take off his mask and he wants to be the face of the company or whatever.
Right.
But Stan Edgar tells them like, they're not ready for that. Like they're not ready to see like a black man in like that role. And I think that's why he was trying to get rid of him, because he wanted to be the face, because Soldier Boy was still there. But if he got rid of him and sent him to the Russians or something like that, then he becomes a face, and then this happens. He has to put his mask back on, and his face is all burnt.
So, posing this new question, Justin, do you think then that Soldier Boy will go after Stan Edgar? Because he was also in Nicaragua during this whole event.
I think that might be Soldier Boy's undoing in the end. I don't think we're going to see him in season 4. I think it would be great if he could go, but I think he's meant to just be like kind of like what Stormfront was last season, was the, you know, the plot driver of the story. I feel like Noir and Stan Edgar will get the better of Soldier Boy, you know, or they'll help Homelander. Like, that's how Homelander will survive, is because of Edgar. And I mean, we see in this episode that Homelander is questioning himself, and especially about how, you know, has this conversation with himself, with the man in the mirror, and he talks about hey, like maybe Edgar was right. Maybe I wasn't ready to lead the company. Maybe I'm just talent. And maybe I don't, you know, I don't know all this stuff and I'm just the superpowered talented guy. I'm not the brains of the operation. So
I love how you just brought that up. It's a great segue to talking about Homelander. Cause I've been holding out on talking about this because
yeah,
it just, I accept it. I'm a pretty analytical, critical thinker, but I accept the man in the mirror theory concept, however you want to place it. And it's very Moon Knight related. I'm sure you guys picked up on that. You have Homelander, the guy who is talent, wants to be loved, wants to be accepted. And that's probably the little last bit that's kept him at Vought. Mm-hmm. And then you have the man that's in the mirror, Homelander, who got them out of the bad room when they were kids. George, I mean, we all just recently watched Moon Knight. Like, what's your thoughts on this kind of idea for Homelander? Does it make sense?
It makes so much more sense now. And it's true. Like, it does have like Moon Knight, like just like grabbing a little bits and pieces of it. Like, he created this personality to escape from like his mom abusing him when he was little. So like Homelander's version of that is like, he created a version of that to get him out of that room. And it makes so much more sense. And it explains a lot about him. And that, like Homelander says, is like the little piece of that's left of him is the piece that wants to be loved. And just that piece of him that he wants
that
to
get piece rid that's of. Human.
Yeah.
That little last piece that is human.
Which he wants to get rid of, which when that happens, that's when everything's going to go to shit. And that's coming very soon.
Absolutely, yeah. For sure. I mean,
that's the part where,
by the way, his performance in this was ridiculously good. Yeah. Oh my God. Like, he should win an Emmy for this. Like, it was so good. Yeah. Like, just the back and forth and like being able to just capture that emotion. Oh man, it was so good.
Extremely well done. And sidebar real fast, I know I sent this to y'all over the weekend that Anthony Starr is going to be one of the celebrities that's coming to Comic Palooza here in Houston in July. And I'm like, okay, I'm not saying we have to go, but I'm encouraging it at this point after Homelander's performance and Herogasm. Incredible performance. Justin, I guess, who's the real Homelander at this point? The man in the mirror or that little bit left of human that needs to be ripped out like a cancer?
I think it's the man in the mirror, because as we see at the end of the episode, after his battle with Soldier Boy and Butcher and Huey, he shows up, he looks in the mirror, and probably for the first time in his life, he has a bruise on his face. Multiple bruises. And I think he's looking at it and saying, yeah, I've got to get rid of this human part, because this human part is what allowed for my face to be bruised. And this is what allowed them to almost take me out. So I think that the rest of this season, we're going to see the, you know, Homelander becomes more of a god than, and doesn't care about being loved or doesn't care about, you know, Instagram followers or, you know, Q ratings on TV or whatever. He's now going to ascend to this like god level. And that's a scary, you know, that's scary. That's why, Soldier Boy is the weapon that hopefully Butcher and Huey and the rest of the boys can use to dispose of a Homelander.
Yeah. You know, I didn't interpret it initially the way that you explained it about it's because of this little bit of human left in me. That's why I have these bruises. I interpreted it as, oh my God, I am not the superior person that I thought I was. You know, I'm not invincible like I thought I was.
I think that's,
you
know, part of it.
I said, though, I'm the upgrade, but yeah, I'm really not.
No, I think that's part of it. I think he's like, by seeing those bruises, he's seeing that, like, I think it's because of the human part that allowed them to almost get the better of me. I mean, they had him right there. If Soldier Boy would, you know, maybe if Soldier Boy doesn't, you know, go off early in the episode because of he's triggered by that Russian pop music, he might have been able to kill him right there, or definitely depower him to where they could kill him. So it was very close. It was very close. Yeah.
That's a great point. And I'm curious now if that's the reason why Soldier Boy couldn't power up the way that we have seen him. It's because of the lack of that.
Yeah,
well, no. He was triggered at first with when he heard from Love Sausage and his right. little area and blew up the house. But you're right. I think that's the deciding factor is the lack of that song as his right. trigger.
He okay. has to be triggered. I don't think he like, I really don't believe Soldier Boy is a very powerful character. I don't believe he has control over this weapon that's inside of him. I think that, you know, yeah, he can kind of conjure up the rage, but that Russian synth pop or whatever seems like it sets him off every time. And so if he hadn't have done that before, 10 minutes before or whatever, he might've been able to kill Homelander just because it was like a fight or flight situation. I mean, even when they were just fighting one-on-one, he might've done it then, but there wasn't enough time to regenerate or recover or whatever it is he has to do.
I'm with you on that. I would say to wrap this up, y'all, Starlight's big announcement on her Instagram live. Remember, she's got a reach of 193 million followers.
Right.
George, social media is huge. You've got a pretty good following for your photography. And, you know, if you had a message to send out to people like that, I mean, what kind of reaction would you expect? Because, I mean, we saw like the different comments being shown. And for me, I can't see worth anything. So I couldn't really tell you what they were all saying. But is it a bad idea that Starlight took this route?
I don't know. Because I feel like some people aren't going to believe her. Like, there, you know how Homelander has his base already? Like, they're kind of alluding to it. Like, the dad of Mother's Milk daughter, her stepdad. Like, he's watching all the propaganda about Homelander, fake news, all this shit. That's definitely going to come to play, and people are not going to believe her. And then the other people will believe her, and I think that's going to make her a target.
For sure, because she says she quits.
Yeah, it's going to make her a target, and how is she going to really stop them? Like, I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens, because I don't really know. I'd love to hear what your predictions are for these next two episodes.
Go for it, Justin.
I did not see that part coming at the end where she basically said, I'm no longer Starlight. My name is Annie January, and I fucking quit. I did not see that coming. It's interesting to see how this will play out. I mean, I guess the hope is that she can turn the public against Homelander. That's her thought process, you know, and she's, with this character, I mean, I don't know. I mean, seems like, is she going to be in season 4? I guess that's the question.
Did she say, Homelander did it, or did she say that Soldier Boy did this?
No, she says that Soldier Boy doesn't care about hero. He doesn't care about saving people. Uh-huh. And none of the heroes do. They only care about their image, and they care about themselves. And then she says,
and that Homelander is
he's the worst of them. Mm-hmm. And he's done something to Maeve.
And then, but this is also going to be news to people. Be like, what are you talking about? Like, exactly. Soldier Boy, who, like, he's alive,
right?
Exactly. Like, it would have been a perfect thing
to just blame it on Homelander.
Well, she's just outing everyone. Remember that conversation she had with Victoria Newman. She's done listening to other people. She's done being told what to do. She's staying true to herself, and she's going to do things her way, which is exactly who she was coming into the Seven. She wanted to keep her costume. She wanted to actually fight crime. She wanted to be the superhero that everyone perceived her to be. And she has not been able to do that. And so I think it's an extremely dangerous, risky move for her to call out Vought, Homelander, everybody, and then say, I quit, because she just created a target on her back. And I mean, is she and MM going to reconcile with the boys, or is she going to go on her own way with MM to actually help people? Because that's how she got MM away from the fight, was to actually plead to his human side and say, there are people we need to help. We need to get out of here. And that's all she cares about, honestly. So it's the next two episodes for sure are going to be very interesting following her storyline, because it definitely looked like she and Huey are not ever going to see eye to eye again. It looks like, for all intents and purposes, they broke up just by that death stare that she gave him when they were leaving. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of liked how she just took the bull by the horns and said, you know what, fuck all this. I'm not playing this game anymore. I don't care if I'm America's sweetheart anymore. This is more important.
But just like we were talking about a little bit ago with Homelander, like this is only going to push him past that human level, because now that he's being outed by America's sweetheart, Starlight, I mean, what, the only part of that about him that was human, the only thing that part that was left in him that cared about was being loved by people. Now that he's hated by people, we're going to see, I mean, like what happened in season two when he had that, like that fantasy kind of freak out where he just like laser eyed that crowd of people. That's going to be the reality. So that's why I wonder, will Starlight is, I mean, will the finale be here last episode? Is she going to make it to the next season? Because he's going to go after her next. You would think so, right? I mean,
Homelander did tell her during the reality show taping that once I lose it all, right, I've got nothing to lose.
Exactly. Exactly.
So predictions, anyone have predictions for what's going to happen in the next episode?
Man, that's so tough because the finale, like it's two episodes, this show, I mean, whatever we think is going to happen in the finale, probably half of it will happen in episode 7 or all of it. You know, like it's, George, do you have a prediction? I don't have one right now.
No, let's make a prediction for after next episode for the finale. Okay, I can't think of anything.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It's just really like what, I guess the prediction I would make is I'm sure that episode 7 will pick up with their Homelander and Ashley are going to be watching Starlight's video on the news or something. And that's where it's going to pick up. And that's, you know, I'm sure something crazy is going to happen. And then he's going to just lose it by the end of the episode. I think he's going to be full blown. Like just, he's a superpowered madman. And maybe, and then I think we're going to see Edgar come back in the finale with Noir. And, I predict they're going to save Homelander from being killed by Soldier Boy. That's my ultimate prediction for the season.
I'm curious. I'm curious if we're going to see the likes of Maeve again, if she's going to be rescued or if we find out she is dead, that kind of thing. For sure. Anything about Noir, if he's going to outrun Soldier Boy or if they're going to have a head to head or not. And I think there's still one other character from Payback, the bug guy that can fly, if Soldier Boy is going to find him and take him out as well.
I think.
Did he die?
That guy died.
Did he die? Okay, my bad.
He died.
Yeah, he got shot by a missile.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry, my bad. So it was Crimson Countess, Gunpowder, which Butch already took care of,
yeah,
the TNT twins, and the last is Noir. Okay, so that would make sense. And maybe possibly Stan Edgar, that might, you know, be out there as well, especially if Stan Edgar was the one who orchestrated everything and just used Black Noir as his scapegoat, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Truth be told. I think a lot will unfold in the next episode for sure.
Yeah, the last thing I want to touch on before we leave is we haven't talked about Butcher facing off with MM. And how he wanted to get at Soldier Boy, Butcher, who is, after he took the V, is powered. He stops saying, like, it's suicide for you to fight him. And then points out, well, you're a hypocrite. Like, you can go after Homelander, but I can't go after Soldier Boy. That's a really great scene.
It was. It was poignant just because the fact that Butcher has chosen to take the V, that way he can go after Homelander.
Right.
Whereas has chosen not to and probably wouldn't stand a chance against Soldier Boy, obviously. Yep. So I think that's the biggest difference.
Anything to be, buddy.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe that'll be something that would come to terms with if he can get his hands on some V and just take matters into his own hands. I don't know. I still am of the opinion that I think everyone, even if it meant Kimiko too, she's not, let's say, getting her powers back fast enough. She takes some of that V and boom, there we go. She's back in action. they all take it and they all gang up against Homelander and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Okay, any other thoughts about the episode you want to talk about?
Good.
10 out of 10. Recommend. Even all the gross stuff.
Very good episode. There's a lot of funny stuff in this episode. I thought the part where Huey encountered A-Train at first, and A-Train's like, I know you like to fuck soups, but I'm off the table. And then Huey's like, yeah, but you're here too. And A-Train's comeback was, okay, whatever, Pornhub. Thought that was such a good, like,
the good one encounter. The one other funny part that happened post Soldier Boy's explosion of the house, and Termite is on the ground itty bitty, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah. God, you someone help me. And then you just see squish. Homelander steps on him. I laughed out loud. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, we definitely lost some C-list or soups in that that did. Explosion. So
we did.
Many of them went out with a bang. So congrats to them. Yeah.
But I'm bum.
So anyway, Brittany, how can people find us on social media?
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can simply search The Watchers in the Basement or at Watchers Basement. We really appreciate all of our followers to date. As you know, we are on the road to 100 YouTube subscribers. So be sure to, one, not only like this video, but also subscribe to our channel and help us get to 100 subscribers. We're currently, I believe, in the late 60s. So every subscription means a lot. Every like on our videos means a lot. Leave us a comment too. And be sure to use hashtag Watchers Basement when talking about us. You can use this on, once again, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Help grow our audience to reach 100 YouTube subscribers. And last but not least, if you're not into video podcasts, that's totally cool. We are also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, thanks to anchor.fm. Please give us a 5-star rating. Helps out our channel so much. And back over to you, Justin.
Okay, thanks, Brittany. So for Brittany, for George, Justin saying we'll see you next week when we talk about episode 7 of The Boys. See you then.